I am live. I'm in the Quicken Loan studio. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. All right, last hour of the week. Make it count. Come in here. Stay strong. Let's finish. Finish strong. Go into the weekend. Earn this thing. 1-800-636-8686. Tom Haberstroh is a Bleacher Report Magazine NBA insider. He joins me in about 15 minutes. Dr. Dave is getting annihilated right now. This is going very badly for the doc. On Twitter, they're tearing him apart. If you missed it at the end of last hour, he made it in. And this is a guy, well, he wants everybody to know always, at all times, that he is a doctor. A very successful doctor. Very important doctor. But can never make it through a single telephone call on this show. So he called last hour. Alvy, I don't know if you have any of that to reset, but it went very badly. Meantime, at Mr. Toxic tweets, Jim, is Dr. Dave the Pigeon's chiropractor? War Dr. Flame. At Phil in Missouri tweets, Dr. Dumbass is back. At White Noise One tweets, damn, I missed a Dr. Dave phone call. Guess I'll never hear it, because what are the chances of that guy making the podcast? At Vans Mac tweets, we should all aspire to flame out the way Dr. Dave flames out. Dude is a pro.
Next, we've got the incontinent callers who just spew out tons of smack and are always going to be successful, like Brad and Corona, Lef, Rick and Buffalo, even me, but you know, most of my smack just spewed all over myself. And last, we have the ones who have both, or what we call irritable bowel syndrome. And that really...
Casey in New Hampshire tweets, like Josh Allen's Twitter account thinks Dr. Dave's calls are a huge mistake. Jeff in Raleigh on Twitter, I only needed one bucket listening to that call from Dr. Dave to puke in. And Rich Micklebus tweets, Dr. Dave's calls are a colonoscopy. There's like hundreds of more of those. My man, just know your place. Your place is not on the phone, at least not calling me. You know, get some reps in. Work your local show. Practice something, anything. You're just not ready for the big stage. You've proven this time and time again. All right, going back to hour number one, we were talking about great words. Kook. This guy writes, kook is king. Rome. Dweeb. Knob. Barney. Boob. Crank. Goob. Boob. Slap. Nerd. All good words. But as a resident of the Central California coast, there is no greater term than kook. The reason it's king is how it's used. The second a kook comes to Pismo from Fresno and gets an overpriced rental surfboard only to flame out every single time he drops in, there's nothing better to describe than kook. The word runs the gamut. It covers all Rons who pose. Bad callers, kooks. Bad takes, kooks. Draft attendees, kooks. Raider fans dressed like pirates, kooks. Basketball players apologizing while 1,000 balls dribble in the background. Kooks. It's the most flexible word there is. Don't let these non-Cowies try and push their words. They're just being kooks. Shannon SLO. He's right. There is no better word. It's the best word ever. Let's talk Lamar Jackson for a minute. Now, was it just me? Or did someone else hear a sound? Did anybody else hear a sound from somewhere in the greater Baltimore area last night? Hey, I thought I heard it.
If he breaks it.
I thought I heard it. Hey. Hey.
Hey.
Right around the time Baltimore got ready to pick at number 25, I could hear it. Hey. Hey.
Hey.
They had that 25th pick. They were ready to go. And I heard, hey.
Hey.
But they used that pick on Hayden Hurst, the tight end from South Carolina. So then it got pretty quiet. But then Baltimore trades with Philadelphia. They get back into the first round. And at 32, I heard it again.
Hey!
Getting louder. A little
hey.
Bit louder. I knew
hey.
That guy. Right.
Hey!
And that's when the reality of why they made that move started to sink in. The noise got louder.
Hey!
And louder.
Hey!
And louder.
Hey!
Because it was clear why they moved back up. What they were trying to do. Then it was deafening.
Hey!
Because right after that came this.
The Philadelphia Eagles have traded the 32nd pick to the Baltimore Ravens.
Hey!
With the 32nd pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, The Baltimore Ravens select Lamar Jackson, quarterback.
Hey!
Louisville.
Hey!
Hey, hey, hey!
Hey!
Hey, what are you doing? Hey!
Hey, 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 hey!
You know what they're doing, Joe? They're drafting your successor. That's what they're doing. Hey!
Hey!
Great moment for Lamar Jackson, who got stuck in the green room all night long and handled that thing like a boss. Could not have handled that any better. He's back there applauding for other picks, laughing with his group, and somehow appearing to be enjoying himself when he was getting passed over by one team after another. I mean, if you saw how pissed Josh Rosen was to drop to number 10, how do you think Lamar Jackson felt? Yet was handling it like a boss. Going into the draft, all the hype was that he was going to go to New England. It would have been the most Bill Belichick move ever to take Jackson. When in truth, the most Bill Belichick thing ever is to make you think that he's going to take Jackson, but end up taking a lineman and a running back instead. Nope, it was Baltimore who took him. The last first-round pick of Ozzie Newsome's career as a GM, and it might have been his all-time best. That's a great move. That, is, to me, is a great move. A great move for everybody not named Joe Flacco.
Hey!
Because there is the distinct possibility that with that trade, the Ravens just got their quarterback of the future. And since Flacco does not have any guaranteed money on his deal after this year, the future could be a lot closer than you think. Now, in terms of these two guys, the differences couldn't be more apparent, right? Couldn't be bigger between Flacco and Lamar Jackson. Starting with the fact that Jackson has better rushing numbers than... Look at the numbers. He rushed for more yards. He rushed for more touchdowns. He had a higher per carry average than Barkley. And the guy can sling it. Plenty of arm, a quick release. And it's worth remembering, he did not win the Heisman for no reason. On top of that, look at the staff in place. Offensive coordinator Marty Morningwig was with Mike Vick and the Eagles back in the day. Combine that with Greg Roman, who's unleashed mobile quarterbacks in the past. Let the offense develop around this guy, and this may turn out to be an all-time great move. And if it doesn't, you didn't give up that much to get the guy anyway. And just like Rosen, Jackson is fired up that he got passed up over and over again. His words to Baltimore, and I quote, "They're going to get a Super Bowl out of me. Believe that." End quote. Love that statement. Love that statement, and I really like that pick. As Baltimore legend JLC pointed out, the Ravens' most popular player is their kicker. Now they may have found just what they need. The new face of the franchise and a quarterback for the next decade. There is a lot to like about this move. In fact, everybody likes the move that I know, except for Joe Flacco.
Hey!
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 The writing is on the wall. Hey!
Hey!
No more guaranteed money. I love that pick. And they moved up in the first round to get that pick. 1-800-636-8686. Do you agree or disagree? What do you think? Anything else relating to the first round, we could talk about too. If you're joining us late, Baker Mayfield at the top. I love that pick. I think the Browns got, again, I think Sam Darnold is the best quarterback top to bottom as a prospect coming out, but that was just a brass move. I love the pick, and for the first time in a long time, the Browns are must-see TV, if they're still allowed on TV. All right, then, let's go to the phones. Justin, Melbourne, Florida. Let's see what's up. Justin, how are you?
Hey, Rob. Thanks for taking the call. There's three things in life you can't avoid. Death, taxes, and my Penguins spanking the Capitals in the playoffs. Up 2-0 in the third period last night, those choking dogs from the district flamed out like a Dr. Dave phone call. You see, there's many reasons why the Pens will three-peat. Number one is we have the best player in the world in Crosby. He brings everyone on his team's level up to exceptional status. Number two is we have the number one co-pilot in Evgeny Malkin. Together, they're like Batman and Robin, Chael and Mike, or better yet, Josh and Detroit in the on-hold button. Finally, dare I say, we have the next coming of Marty Bergeron and the Nets with Matt Murray. 2 years, two cups. This guy is the ultimate closer with ice in his veins. The clones out there need to embrace the greatness of this team, and to quote the two-time smack-off champ left, the Pens will 3 you later. I'm out.
All right, Justin. Penguins, Caps. So the NFL draft was going on in Big D. The annual war between the Caps and the Penguins did kick off last night in the district. Stop me if you've heard this before. The Caps capped again. I mean, you thought it would be different. You thought that game four or that four-game winning streak to send Columbus to Cancun would mean that Washington was ready for the grudge match. The same thing was not going to happen again. And it looked so good last night. 17 seconds in, it looked like everything was going to be different.
Right away from the top of the right circle, stick save by Holtby, and the Caps make their way to center with Alex Ovechkin behind the defense. Here's Kuznetsov. He scores! 17 seconds in! It's 1-0! Oh, Washington!
Unbelievable, but I can see why they're so fired up. You score 17 seconds in. That's how you start a game. That's how you start a series. By lighting the lamp before the hyped up crowd could even sit down. By putting a fist in the face of the champ champs before the scoreboard operator took his finger off the button. By saying, it is going to be different this time. This year is different. It's not happening again. And for two periods, it was different. It looked different. The Caps neutralized the Penguins. Neutralized them offensively. They kept Sid in check. Braden Holtby stood on his head. Washington stayed out of the penalty box. And even when the game rolled into the third period, where the nightmare generally begins for these guys against the Penguins, they still were doing fine. It wasn't Sid who did the damage. It was Alex Ovechkin.
And the Caps in a 2-on-1. Ovechkin coming with Orlov. Alex coming to the left circle. A shot! He scores!
District was rocking 2-0. This time, it was going to be different. This was the lead that the Caps were not going to lose. This was the home ice that they were going to protect. But then it happened. Bang!
Bang!
Patrick Hornquist. The lead's down 2-1. Bang!
Bang!
Sid Crosby. Tie game. Bang!
Bang!
Jake Gensel on
Schultz,
the redirect.
Outside New Orleans Mata. Comes forward. And plays the puck in deep. Holtby plays it on the backhand around far side. Crosby there. Whipping in! He scores! Gives the Penguins the lead 3-2. And Holtby doesn't know whether to cry or wind his watch. He shot that puck from the boards. And the Penguins have taken the lead.
Mike Lang. Uh-oh! 3 goals.
Uh-oh.
5 minutes. A 2-0 lead. Gone.
Bang!
Gone before the Caps knew what hit them. The champ champs laying in the weeds, letting the Caps think that things were going to be different, only to rise up and smash them with a 2x4.
Bang!
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 Look, there are a lot of ways to spin this. If you're the Caps, you know, we've blown third period leads before. We've blown 2-goal leads before. We've picked ourselves up off the mat before. Hell, they might even want to look at it this way. Like, we've won 8 of 10 game ones and still managed to lose 9 series. Maybe this is actually a good thing that we're starting off in the hole. But at what point do you ask yourself, I mean, how much more can we take? Another year, another fist to the face. And it's like the Penguins are finding new ways to punk them. In 2016, they didn't have Chris Letang. Didn't matter. 2017, Sid sits out a game with a head injury. Did not matter. Last night, they didn't have Geno Malkin or Carl Hagelin. Didn't matter. Got to give Barry Trotz and his team credit. Because if it were me, I'd take off my gear, find a place to lay down, and take a forever nap. Man, I'd just take down the playoff beard, call my travel agent, get to an island where nobody's ever heard of the Penguins. But this is the Caps. This is Caps Pens. Meaning that even if game one felt like the gut shot that it always does, you know, deep down, something worse is right around the corner. Chin up, Washington. Don't give me the standard CAPS crap, crap, crap. Man, take that beating, ice up, be thankful you've got until Sunday to shake that loss off. I mean, it's amazing. It's still going on. It's still happening. The Penguins are still the Penguins. The Caps are still the Caps. And it started all over again. Now we'll wait until Sunday. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk some basketball. Tom Haberstroh is a Bleacher Report Magazine NBA insider. And he is coming up next. Getting maximum performance out of anything depends on what you put into it. If you want to achieve maximum performance at work, you've got to put in the extra effort. When you want max performance from your kids, you put in the time and the tools. And when you want maximum performance from your vehicle, what do? You drop in Castrol Edge, the titanium strong motor oil. Modern engines are smaller, they're more powerful, they operate at higher pressures than ever before. The pressure in the engine is as much as five cars resting on a high heel. Higher engine pressures cause significant stress on the oil, so the oil's got to be strong and it has to stay strong. Castrol Edge is formulated with fluid titanium technology, and it helps to reduce friction and maximize engine performance. Castrol Edge is three times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown, as tested in the Kurt Orban test in the 5W30 Viz grade. Put it into your car today, Castrol Edge.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
We've hit the NFL draft hard, so what do you see? We change up right now and talk a little basketball. We're joined by an NBA analyst for Bleacher Report, Count the Dings podcast host and the creator of the ALS Pepper Challenge, Tom Haberstroh, is my guest. Tom, it's good to have you back on. How are you?
I'm good. Can't complain.
Good, man. Good. Nice to talk to you. You know, tonight gives us game six of Cleveland, Indiana, game six of the OKC Utah series, also game six of Toronto, Washington. But the first two I mentioned had a pair of ridiculous game fives. Which performance was more impressive to you? LeBron single-handedly carrying the Cavs to victory, or Russell Westbrook and Paul George dragging the Thunder back from the dead, Tom?
Oh, it's got to be what the Russell Westbrook and Paul George show did. I mean, it was incredible. Watching that game, I thought there was almost zero chance that they were going to come back from that 25-point deficit. We've seen LeBron James do this, where he puts the team on his back and carries them across the finish line. What we haven't seen is the Thunder looking like that any time in this season. I mean, they were unstoppable in that third quarter. And I will say this, I don't think that happens if Rudy Gobert doesn't pick up his fourth foul, what seemed like a phantom fourth foul, because they are so good at defending Russell Westbrook with Rudy Gobert. He's kind of his kryptonite out there. He's the best defender in the NBA. I think he's the defensive player of the year because he's so long. He covers so much ground and really hurts the Thunder at their toughest spot, which is around the rim. If Russell Westbrook can't go north to south and get into the paint, the Thunder can't do anything. And in that game, when he checked out, the Thunder just took off. And in that series, the Thunder have 400 fewer passes than the Utah Jazz. I'm going to repeat that, 400 fewer passes than the Utah Jazz. And it's just a lot of stand-around offense watching Russell Westbrook. But when they get going like they did in that third quarter, it's amazing to watch. The rest of the game, not so much.
Tom Haberstroh joining us. I think you're going to get there in a second, Tom, but you've compared the Thunder offense to cherry soda. Lay that out for me. What do you mean by that?
Everyone seems to like cherry soda, but it makes me gag. Like, a lot of people like watching Russell Westbrook play in that offense, but it makes me gag. I think it was because when I was sick as a kid, the whole cherry thing, when I was sick as a kid, I would have cough syrup, and it was always cherry flavor, and it just always made me gag afterwards. And it's weird because everyone loves Russell Westbrook, the whole defiant, like, why not mentality, but ultimately, he's an inefficient, high-volume scorer, and everyone stands around and watches him play. Scottie Brooks, you know, the thing about Scottie Brooks coaching that team was it was an uncreative offense. There just wasn't a lot of ball movement. There wasn't a lot of off-ball movement. They just stood around and watched Russell Westbrook go. And it's the same thing with Billy Donovan's offense around Russ. Is that they stand around, they have the fewest number of miles traveled. We can track that now. The fewest distance of offense. So the bodies aren't moving, the ball is not moving, and it's just, you know what, it's not appealing basketball. Not every team has to be the Spurs passing the ball and the Philadelphia 76ers pass the ball and everyone gets a touch. But ultimately, I don't know. It just feels like the NFL, if they got rid of passing and just ran the ball every time, that's kind of what I get from the OKC offense.
Tom Haberstroh joining us. All right, so the analytics do not lie. The metrics don't lie. What about the Jazz? How do you think the Jazz respond to that Game 5 loss? And in your opinion, are they just the better team?
I think they are. I actually predicted when Gordon Hayward left, I actually predicted in the summer that they would win about 48 games, almost 50 games. I did a bet with Zach Lowe of ESPN, a steak dinner over the Utah Jazz, because I really felt that Gordon Hayward, moving to Boston solidified their identity, a defensive-minded juggernaut. No one was going to score against them. And over the summer, I said they were going to win 50 games. They ended up winning 48. I was close. But the idea is the same, is they defensively suffocate their opponents. And Rudy Gobert, when he's on the floor in game five, when he was on the floor, the Thunder scored 90 points per 100 possessions, a really bad total. But when he was off the floor, when he went to the bench, they scored 134 points per 100 possessions, an enormous gap. And that's the same thing for the rest of the series. When Rudy Gobert is on the floor, they're really, really good. They move the ball. Donovan Mitchell is electric. And it just goes to show, you don't have to run your entire offense through one player to get a high-volume score of his shots. Donovan Mitchell is shooting a whole bunch of shots and scoring a whole bunch of points, but they average so much more ball movement on their team. So I think Utah is going to win this Game 6 on their home floor. I just think this OKC team is just too unimaginative offensively for them to win in the playoffs.
I think you're right. And that big three is actually a big two. I think Utah, just top to bottom, is a better team. I think they're a better team. They're a very difficult matchup. I think they're going to win that game too and close it out. All right, so where do you come out on LeBron and the four guys that aren't LeBron beating the Pacers in Game 5? I mean, how crazy is it that 15 years into LeBron's career, he's still having moments like he had in that game?
This might be the worst supporting cast he's ever had in the playoffs, Jim. I really believe that. Right now, he has 174 points scored by himself and another 100 points scored on assists. He's created 58% of the offense for the Cavs. Let me put this another way for you. He leads the Cavs in assists with 40. The next highest guy, Jeff Green, with 9. Jeff Green is not a playmaker. Jeff Green is a catch-and-shoot threat for that team. He catches the ball and dunks it, or he shoots three-pointers, and he's second on the roster in assists. They really miss Kyrie Irving, and of course the Isaiah trade absolutely hurt them, the fact that they didn't get another great playmaker in that deal. But the bottom line is they need more from Kevin Love. They need more from Rodney Hood and Jordan Clarkson, because it is inconceivable to have a guy in second place in assists named Jeff Green at 9. It's insanity. LeBron James, what he's doing right now is amazing. I don't think he's going to make it to the finals because the rest of the supporting cast is that good. Is not that good, and I think the Philadelphia 76ers are that good.
I'm going to ask you about them in 1 second. One more thought about LeBron, though. I mean, you're somebody who spent a lot of time thinking about and writing about fitness and how NBA players take care of themselves. So how do you explain LeBron still being at this level in his 15th season after 7 straight trips to the finals?
I mean, I don't know how to explain it. It is at ESPN, when I was there over the last several years, we were kind of saying, like, he at some point is going to fall off. Like, he is going to get fatigued, and it's not going to happen for him. He's eventually going to fall off. And it hasn't happened. You know, he played all 82 games this season. He spends more money on his body than just about any player in the NBA. I would venture to guess it's twice as much as any player in the NBA, because that is his temple. That is his ticket. If he's healthy, he's the most dominant player in the NBA. He just needs the right supporting cast around him. I'm not so sure they have the right shooters and combination of two-way players. And, Jim, I think they miss Tristan Thompson, who has vanished from this team, and he was a starter on that squad.
Tom Haberstroh joining us. Tom, you mentioned the Sixers. You made the point that Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons aren't just good, but they're the best combo in the NBA since November 1st. I mean, that's better than James Harden and Chris Paul, better than Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, better than anybody. How good are they purely from a statistical standpoint?
When they're on the floor, Jim, they outscore opponents by 17 points per 100 possessions. since November 1st. And I want to make sure we mention that since November 1st, because for the first month of the season, Ben Simmons was really struggling, just struggling to find his groove in the NBA. He's a rookie. And ever since then, when he found his groove, they've been unstoppable. When you look at Chris Paul and James Harden, they're not 17 points better than their opponents. When you look at LeBron James and any teammate, he's not even close. If you're looking at the best duos in the NBA, purely from a numbers perspective, when they are on the floor, they just dominate the opponent. And in that Miami series, that actually got better. It went from 17 points every 100 possessions to 19 points. And you know what? I think Joel Embiid is just getting started here, because that mask was a total deterrent. He did not look very confident in that mask, pulling it off every opportunity. I think in this next series, we're going to see another level of Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid just getting that chemistry in the postseason, because Joel Embiid didn't play for a month and then did that. It was really impressive. I think the sky is the limit for this team. The way that Brett Brown has coached them, it reminds me a lot of Shaq and Penny in 95.
Tom Haverstraw joining us. I think that Joel Embiid, I think even though he missed that much time, I think the playoff Joel is better than the regular season Joel. It's amazing. And he hates that mask, and the guy's still balling out completely. Now, Tom, you are the creator of the ALS Pepper Challenge, which started out as an idea. It became an enormous campaign. What have you and your mother, Patty, made of this entire thing?
We can't believe it, and I'm going to say it now. It really jumped when you nominated Nancy O'Dell. I mean, that was it. We've raised over $500,000 since Christmas when we started this. Our goal was $50,000, and personally, I think my mom and my whole family want to thank you for not just participating, but knowing the right people to nominate, because you know, this disease, it needs a cure. Every 90 minutes, someone dies from ALS, and we just can't catch up quick enough to find a cure. And that's what we're trying to do, is find a cure. And we've raised over $500,000 for the ALS TDI Foundation. I think we're gonna find a cure for this thing, and we're that much closer thanks to you and the rest of the community that's really wrapped their heads around this Pepper Challenge. And you know what? My stomach might not like it because of all the peppers I've had, but I will eat 1,000 peppers if it means we get one step closer to an ALS cure.
Yeah, Tom, you and your family have done an absolutely amazing job with this. Where do people go right now if they want to contribute?
ALS.net/pepper, or you can hit the hashtag ALS Pepper Challenge on Twitter and find it there. But ALS.net/pepper, make your donations there, and it's going to a good place at ALS TDI. They're doing an amazing job trying to find a cure for this disease. Look, Lou Gehrig had this disease decades ago, and we're still not that much closer to finding a cure. We need money, and everyone can help.
He's an NBA analyst for Bleacher Report, the Count the Dings podcast host, and the creator of the ALS Pepper Challenge. Tom, great job. Great to visit with you. Thank you very much, and we're always here for you, too. Great to have you back.
Thanks, Jim.
A great weekend, Tom. Thank you. You know, he mentioned Nancy. Also, it was my guy, Kevin Frazier. I had nominated both of them, and a couple of big stars. They helped get the word out, so that was fun. That was great. It's an amazing cause, and Tom and his family have done a great, great job of publicizing that, bringing awareness to it, because it is absolutely insidious. ALS. He's the creator of the ALS Pepper Challenge. All right, we'll take a short break. When we return, one last segment. That last segment on a Friday is always a busy one, but not too busy for you to get through. Hit us up right now. This segment brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Bottom of the hour means one thing. Time for... ATP, Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. ATP comes from Buffalo. Gavin in Buffalo writes, Rome, this might sound dumb, but I love hearing you talk about your plans for the weekend. It's cool to hear what my favorite radio host does when he's not on the air. So, does Janet have you booked, or will you just be laying low and maybe watching Game 7, hockey, and or the draft? Right, here's the answer. Some of you might actually be like, yeah, man, that is pretty cool. Wish I had Rome's life. Wish I could live vicariously through him. Fact of the matter is, I'm pretty much doing what you're doing. I would imagine most of us do the same thing. I'll tell you exactly how my weekend's going to go. My weekend is going to go the way almost every single weekend goes this time of year. I've got two kids. They both play baseball. One's a high school baseball player. One plays travel ball. We watch baseball. So I'll lay it out for you. My weekend looks like this. Today, my older boy, Jake, he's got a high school game. I will go to that. Let me back this up. I'm going to finish up what I have to do here, do some work, get my Friday stuff done here, go home, knock out some cardio, go to a high school baseball game, go back home, run into an adult beverage, get some dinner, nap it out. Get up tomorrow. Watch lots of sports. Difference between you and me, we all watch sports. They pay me to watch sports. It's an awesome gig. Do that. Sunday is big sports day and also a big baseball day because Logan has doubleheaders on Sunday. So, baseball, sports, baseball, adult beverage, workout, nap it out, Monday. So, literally, my weekend is a lot like your weekends, I think. Now, oh, Jano's got a different weekend. She's hanging out with the gals. They went to Stagecoach. So, that's not my bag. That's her thing. That's their thing. So, me and the boys are going to hang out. That's how the weekend looks. Hey, clones, what do you got? I want to know what my favorite clones are doing this weekend. It may sound kind of dumb, but I love hearing you talk about what you're doing this weekend. What's everybody up to? Big question is, do the fellas get to roll out and go to dinner? I don't know, man. The kids are sick, too. There's a lot of that going on. Baseball, sickness, and we're going to lay low. Rest, recover, bounce back, get at it again. So we're probably laying low. All right, there's your ATP. Quick hockey note. Not all of you know the rules of hockey. Let me help you out. 2 minutes for tripping. 5 minutes for a misconduct call. You know, maybe a cross check or something like that. And a stern phone call from the league office for face licking. That's right. No hooking, no slashing, and no face licking. Brad Marchand's at it again. What a rap sheet this guy's got. Cheap shotting, two-handing, face-licking. He got all amorous with it, with Toronto's Leo Komarov. The little ball of hate got word that the league is not down with that. Now, maybe you missed this earlier in the playoffs when the pest known as Brad Marchand went up and literally licked on Leo. Both guys laughed it off. Leo did not get hooked by Marchand. The league wants to make sure that in round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs, the little ball of hate does not try to get too cozy with anybody on the Lightning. You gotta love this guy, right? I mean, normally in a league where guys are taking sticks made of fiberglass and Kevlar and blasting people in their chiclets, Marshy is going next level with it and nuzzling up to snuggle and spoon at the rink. The game's biggest pest. He's trying to find new and innovative ways to get under people's skin and to get into their head, but in a manner which will not get him chucked from a game or a series because of that track record. Look, nobody's ever had to go to a dentist after a cuddle, right? Nobody's ever had to take a glove off and pick their teeth out of the snow after a guy licked their face, right? And Marchand knows this. He knows the NHL rulebook says nothing about treating your opponent like a Tootsie Pop. A couple things I'm sure of, though. He's going to find a way to get in your grill. And he's going to find a way to be a real irritation to Tampa Bay. And he's going to score, and he's going to make a lot of trouble for them. So, while the league does not want him making it to first base with guys wearing the other team's sweater, take this to the bank. You can take the face licking out of his repertoire, but you're not going to take the pest out of Marchand. Black and yellow, black and yellow. They're telling this guy, hey man, you can't do that. You can't lick your opposition. Stop doing that.
Yeah, dude, Almy, are you ready? Are we too late? Then go ahead, roll it.
With the first pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select...
The week that was...
What's going on? A tremendous Tuesday to you. I am Jim Rome. Great to be back. I did not take a 3-day weekend. Actually, I had some show business, so I made a quick run to Houston, took care of my business there, got back. So no, that was not, hey, Rome, must be nice. Not the case. It's all good, though. I want to start in Salt Lake City. Week take late.
Yeah! Donovan Rises 3. ballgame.
And yes, Thunder fan, now would be a real good time to panic. Your MVP for maybe the first time in his life is running smack and not backing it up.
Shut that off next game.
Snyder's a genius, so that Donovan kid had better coach these dudes up. Ben Golver is my guest.
Pretty quick 180 from Russell, wasn't it?
No, it was not about me or him.
No, I imagined when he made it all about him and Rubio that the Jazz locker room and their coaching staff was just sitting in a room giggling.
The reason I take so many vacation days is because I get so many vacation days. They had me off the air flying to Houston to take care of jungle business. I work.
I mean, it's expensive to self-publish these things. It's like almost 20 grand.
Pull your bootstraps up, boy. I'm still doing repairs, man. I'm living like Giggling's Island or something down here.
Eddie Olczyk joins us. Do you have an early pre-derby pick?
Yeah, you know what? I think there's a lot of pace in the race. If the race was this afternoon, Jim, I'd be going to the windows on Good Magic.
Andy Reid is my guest. How excited are you about the potential of the offense top to bottom?
I told Pepe this at Javier. I need to get Miguel up here to play a little quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
See, I was as excited to see you as you were me. You have a beautiful wife and Janet, your son, living in California, eating at Javier's 17-year birthday. And, I mean, come on. How much better does it get?
Never tell your players that you are expected to lose.
Going 6-17 and tanking implies you have a plan. But going 6-17 and not tanking implies you are terrible at your job.
Mentally weak.
It's not going well, G. It's not going well at all.
Call me delusional.
You're delusional. Dale Demps.
Good to be back. I'm a clone at heart, so I'm glad to be back here. Thanks for having me.
You might run into
George Clooney.
Cougs. Not George Clooney. I've never seen him there.
Charles Oakley.
Oh, man, I wish I'd see Oak there. I have never seen Hope Solo. I would give anything to see Hope Solo there. We'll not see her, I don't think.
Pedro Guerrero.
Definitely have not seen him there. Kurt Orban. Oh, dude, Orban would be amazing.
Louis Slungpugh.
Slungpugh will not be there. Yogi Roth is my man. Sweet potato tater tots. How did that go? How were they? They were great, right?
It was superfood, man. Killed it. Sweet potato,
yeah,
too,
man. Yeah, they look amazing.
Yeah, it will change your life.
The lobster enchilada. Those went through me like cheese through a goose.
Ah! Come on, man. The lobster enchiladas. They have never gone through me. Like cheese through a goose.
I'm overweight. I'm overweight. Burrito.
Should believe. He never really got to show how good he truly, truly was. We got to see some of it. There was still a whole lot left. So that's the hard part. We didn't get to see it all, what he really could have done.
Stick zoo! Class.
Junior, I know you would never do this. I know that you weren't brought up this way. I know you don't think this way. Never, ever go to social and say something regrettable. Better yet, never think anything regrettable. Don't see the world that way, and then you won't get into trouble. Lincoln Riley joining us. What was Baker like to coach?
The rise from a guy that was just trying to start here, and people said would never play in the NFL, never would do this and that. Here he is getting ready to be a first-round pick.
Three from dead center.
Do I have to do everything around here? Performances from LeBron. LeBron 3, Pacers 2.
Stop the greatness out here, cuz.
George McPhee.
Whatever you think of Vegas, when you live here and work here, it's the opposite. Great housing, parks, restaurants, churches, schools. We feel very, very fortunate to be able to live and work here.
Good golf, too,
oh,
right?
Oh, gosh. 10 courses, 10 minutes of this year.
Left three-pointer looks good. It is. Sing it, everybody.
It was looking like it was about time for OKC to rip out their golf clubs. Their season was over. The big three. Let's be real about that for a minute. Really, there's only a big two and some other dude.
OKC.
Dude, yes.
LeBron James.
Alvin, how did you do that?
I can't believe you guys are booing the Cowboys.
There's Raj. There's Troy. There's Jason. Those are my dudes. I can't boo them. What do I do? Yeah, nice try with that.
Come on.
Daniel Jeremiah.
9 mistakes ahead of me.
If he doesn't beat out Sam Bradford in training camp, I'll be shocked.
Steve Keim is my guest. Is there going to be an open quarterback competition?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Wilkes has made that clear. Josh is going to come in and compete. There's nothing like competition at every position.
The silk montage, brah.
Yeah, how about us? How you like us now? We took an offensive lineman that everybody knew we were going to pick. Yeah.
The best monotone caller with a lift.
Dingbat.
And last, we have the ones who have both, or what we call irritable bowel syndrome. And that really...
You save dying kids? You can't get through a phone call to a sports talk show. Tom Haverstraw joining us. You are the creator of the AOS Pepper Challenge.
We can't believe it. And I'm going to say it now. It really jumped when you nominated Nancy O'Dell. I mean, that was it.
Delicious.
Leave, Minnesota, leave!
Paul Gunther's double-A gap defense.
Ron Paulus.
Go crazy.
Aroxo Wilson!
How about Brad Childress?
Where are you?
My real boyfriend is currently in prison.
Guaranteed it.
Speaking of the Browns, man.
Stop talking about fecal matter.
We stay LeBron.
Thank you for having me on, Jim.
Thanks so much, Romy.
Good to get caught up with you.
All right, Jim, man, you're the best.
Good night now!
Wow. I can't believe how much you got in there, Alvy. And especially when you went to Cleveland and back. Alvin DeLauro, my thanks to Daniel Jeremiah, Steve Keim, and the Cards, Chris Melvin, and Mark Dalton as well. Tom Haberstroh, the XR4TI. Huge call today. Brought to you by Stabil. Stabil 360, performance fuel treatment and stabilizer. Engineered to protect your engine from the harmful effects of ethanol blended fuels. Use it with every fill up for maximum protection.